The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. Where were you, any of you, on the evening of Tuesday, October the 10th, 1944, shortly after 6:30 p.m.? Come on, think. It was only 75 years ago. Many other people will remember where they were that winter's night, because lots of them thought the Isle of Man was under attack by the Luftwaffe. But it wasn't. In fact, it was when the 18-ton flywheel on one of the electricity generators in the Douglas Corporation power station on North Quay disintegrated into huge chunks of iron, burst up through the roof, blacked out the island, and then landed back in the centre of the town, causing considerable damage and starting fires. The miracle was that nobody was killed or even injured. It was the rim of the flywheel, bolted together in six sections, which burst apart, and its velocity sent the pieces spinning up nearly 1,000 feet into the night sky, and then back down again. One crashed through the roof and the floor of the stoker's mess room at the Douglas Gas Works on South Quay. It ended up near a boiler and could have caused an explosion and a major fire. One crashed through the roof of the Isle of Man Times building in Athol Street, plunging through two floors and wrecking machinery. One landed on a fish and chip shop at the junction of Nelson Street and Church Street, trapping two women in an upstairs bedroom who had to be rescued by firemen. Certainly Douglas Fire Brigade was having a busy time of it. A chunk of flywheel landed on a grocer's shop in Athol Street, causing boxes of matches in a storeroom to ignite, setting fire to the building. Meanwhile, back down to the power station on North Quay, which incidentally is still standing, having been decommissioned in 1951. The flywheel taking off must have been a frightening experience in itself for the duty engineer, a man called Roy Motion. The power failure spread to the entire island. The cinemas in Douglas, along with the Gaiety and the Palais de Danse, were blacked out. At Noble's Hospital, there were no lights, and candles had to be lit in the wards, along with oil lamps. There was an operation in progress, but a backup supply was brought into use, and the surgeon carried on with his work successfully. Full lighting was not restored in the hospital until midnight, as power station staff worked to restore supplies generally. They were unable, however, to prevent a Manx Electric Railway tram on its way from Douglas to Ramsey coming to a sudden halt near Port Lueg. The passengers got out and walked the rest of the way. In spite of all-night work by the power station staff, it was to be 14 hours after the flywheel flew off that all supplies were restored throughout the island. Of course, immediately after the blackout hit with a terrible roar that was heard by people all over Douglas town centre, there was no little panic. The war was on, and everybody knew that London was under attack by flying bombs, the V-1 and V-2 rockets being launched from Germany. People in Douglas could be forgiven for thinking, which they did, that Herr Hitler, for reasons of his own, had suddenly decided to switch the attack to the Isle of Man. But it was not the case. The good ratepayers of Douglas were actually being bombarded involuntarily by Douglas Corporation Electricity Department.